Well, thank you very much for the invitation. My role here, I was told, was to be the discussion opener and also to busk a bit if there was any time left because Ian Boyd couldn't be here, but there is no time left and the speakers have very adequately covered their briefs. What I would like to do is talk a little bit, draw some of the points out that have been made, particularly looking at some of the areas where we absolutely agree, because like the discussion between the Abrahamic religions, I think we actually agree about more than we disagree, so I think that's an important premise. But I'll also just refer a little bit to the Welsh experience, which has been referred to already. I'll start off with my starting point, which is the same as everybody else's, but this is a heck of a problem. It's a very, very complex problem. It's serious, and no one disputes that. It's serious for farmers, it's serious for badgers, it's serious for cattle. It's also serious for society. And I would also add to that, it's very serious for policymakers. This is not an easy issue. If it was, then we would have come up with some clear policy before now. The evidence base on which policymakers have to work is a mixture of natural science evidence, social science evidence, economic evidence, and politics, sometimes raw politics. And perhaps one of the reasons why Ian is unable to be here tonight is because the last of those is bound to have an influence on this debate. And those evidence bases are incomplete. We can't, as the scientists providing the evidence base, point to clear and unequivocal evidence in many of the areas we're talking about. I mean, just to underline this, I mean, it's very interesting that the policy in England changed from one of not culling to culling at exactly the same time as the Welsh policy changed from culling to non-culling on exactly the same evidence base. So clearly there is an issue here. And in 2011, I and a group of others were asked by the then new minister in the Welsh administration to review the natural science evidence base for him, largely because it was a manifesto commitment. He'd said he would, and he asked us to look at it, and in doing so, we began to appreciate ever more the problem for the policymaker, and particularly about the robustness of the evidence. And in reporting to the minister, we drew up a schema whereby, in an attempt to help, we said the evidence we would look at the evidence and categorise it in four main categories. One, where there was a general consensus with an evidence base. In other words, minister, policymaker, you can be confident about this. Secondly, there was general consensus, but based on expert opinion. In other words, there was not robust controlled experimental work to support the evidence base, but actually the scientist on the Clapham omnibus was fairly confident in offering this advice. And then there was a group where the support was less robust. There was majority support for something, but no real evidence base, just a deal of common sense. And then there was a further category where there was some support. In other words, there were views being expressed which had no real evidence, which weren't supported by the majority, but were probably worthy of further opinion, of further consideration. So that led us to draw up a few basic premises around this whole area, and I'll just go through some of them. Some of them are blindingly self-evident, but I think they are worth just restating. First, as we've already said and already heard, the TB is a major problem in cattle and badgers, in Wales in our case, but also in certain regions, as we've seen in England, but not, of course, in Scotland. The eradication of BTB in cattle will require the simultaneous use of a range of measures. Again, we've talked about no silver bullet. Any set of controls that will lead to eradication will be a mixture. For the scientists among us, that is a little bit unfortunate because we will end up not knowing probably which of them worked or which of them contributed the most. But we know it will have to be a mixture. We were also of the view, and Miles has made this point too, that the measures to be employed will vary by geographical area and by implication by the degree of severity or prevalence of the disease in a particular area. And there may well be particular epidemiological issues in different areas that we need to address. There's a general consensus, we said, with an evidence base, that the transference between cattle and from cattle to cattle is crucially important. People will argue, and we've heard some data as to how important that is compared to badger to cattle, but it remains a fundamental point, which was made by the randomised badger culling trial report in 2007, that that's crucially important. There's also a general consensus based on an evidence base that there is an association between bovine tuberculosis in badgers and in cattle in the areas where it's endemic in both species. Nobody argues about that. There is crucially an evidence base that culling of badgers will make a difference to the incidence or prevalence or the increase in prevalence of bovine tuberculosis in cattle. The randomised badger culling trial showed that you could reduce the number of cattle outbreaks by culling badgers. There's a debate about whether that's enough and whether it's sustainable, but there is an evidence base for that. There's also evidence that you can have some impact by reducing the contact between cattle and badgers. Where the prevalence is high in badgers, there is more likely to be transference, though, as we've heard, it's not that straightforward. There is also evidence, based on laboratory and some field trials, that vaccination of badgers will make a difference to the badger population. There's no evidence that that will be then reflected in the incidence in cattle, but common sense suggests that it will be. And then we went on to talk about cattle TB, vaccination of cattle against TB. We also made the point, and I think Adam touched on this, that social science evidence base is as important as the natural science evidence base in any policy. It's clear that if you are going to control and eradicate bovine tuberculosis in cattle, you need you need all of the parties to be committed to this, and that includes the farming population. So the confidence of the farming population, the farmers involved in any measures that are in place, is crucially important. And it's obvious, too, that the social and economic science base, evidence base, is as yet incomplete. We also finally drew the conclusion, which I think is again self-evident, that for all the evidence that we were able to supply, this would ultimately be a political decision rather than one based just on the evidence base. So as I said at the outset, I think it's important to understand what we agree as well as where we disagree. We agree that badgers and cattle infect each other and themselves. We agree that infection in wildlife reservoirs has to be controlled if eradication is to be achieved. And that's important both from the cattle point of view and from the wildlife's point of view. We also agree, I think, that measures to reduce cattle-to-cattle infection are important in the control and eradication. We also agree that culling of badgers carried out to certain criteria will reduce the incidence of bovine tuberculosis cattle herd breakdown. Again, is it sufficient? Are the economics correct? Is the social science appropriate? Nonetheless, there is an evidence base for that. We also agree, I think, that vaccination of badgers will reduce disease and probably infection, but this will probably take a long time. We probably also agree that in certain parts of the country, at least, cattle vaccination is one of the medium-term measures that we would need to look at very closely. As I've already said, we agree that eradication will require a collection of measures, and as I said also, that it will be difficult to be clear which of these has the major impact. But we don't agree on some other things. We don't agree, for example, on how best to control disease and infection in the wildlife reservoir. And there is the nub of the issue for the policymakers at the moment, whether to vaccinate, like Wales, or to cull, which is the current policy in England. We also don't agree, I don't think, on just how draconian do we need to be in our measures to control cattle-to-cattle transmission. We've heard from Adam that there is an appetite for risk-based trading. There is an appetite for farmers to play their part in bovine tuberculosis eradication, but they have to be confident that the measures that they are taking and the pain that they feel and the cost to them is going to be part of a total package in which they can have confidence. The social science amongst the farming community is important. I also think we need to ask some further questions. In relation, for example, to cattle measures, Are we confident enough that the measures that we're applying are bespoke enough for the region or even the farm that we're talking about? We've heard about the division relatively recently into different areas of the country that require different measures. But I think there's a strong argument to be made that some of those individual measures should be more bespoke for either sub-regions or individual farms. And that raises the question that Rosie has raised elsewhere as to what should be the role of different players in this. I would argue, as the sole veterinary surgeon in this panel, that the local veterinary surgeon, properly informed and properly equipped, is one of the key players in advising an individual farm about TV control on that farm. We also need to discuss more acutely and more urgently, should we and how could we deploy a licensed cattle vaccine? We also need to look at biosecurity measures again and see whether we've got those tight enough as part of the protection of our cattle herd from badgers. And I think we also need to ask ourselves the question, and this is a question for the scientists as well as the policymakers, are we sure we're not missing something here? Are we sure there's not something else that we might be thinking of? Are there other farming practices? Are there other husbandry practices? What's the impact of maize growing, for example? What's the cause of the badger population explosion? Should we be talking about badger population control anyway, out with the role of TB? I think there are a whole number of issues, and I think, Chairman, it would be good to discuss some of them.